What's up, everybody? Zach Witowicz here, and it's The Building Code with...
Courtney Matern.
Hey, Courtney, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's so good to see you.
Oh, thank you. It's one of my favorite places to be.
That's right.
Filling in for Charlie.
It's always a good feeling when I've got a new, fresh set of eyes here on the interview.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah, of course. I'm really excited about today's guest.
Me too. Yeah, that's right. Whenever it's like a guest that it's like, oh, it's like, all right, Charlie, get out.
Yeah, that's how it really happens. I'm just like, I want to be on this interview, so goodbye, Charlie.
It's like that cartoon where they like, you know, yank you off stage. It's like, one of you's got to go. So, well, I want to tell the guests or our listeners about our guests.
Yeah, so we're going to be joined by Danielle and Michael Gattelli. They're from Clark and Aldean out in Michigan, sort of the Detroit area. We work with them a lot in the marketing side. They're a couple of our brand ambassadors, and they have a really interesting and compelling story around their financials.
That's right. I'm really excited to get to chat with them, meet them. I've heard a lot about them, so let's not waste any more time and let's welcome them in. Hey, Danielle, Michael, welcome to The Building Code. It's great to have you both. How are we doing today?
We're great.
We're doing great. Thank you for having us. We're excited to talk with you guys.
Love it. Love it. Well, a little bit, you know, before we dive deep into the topic of talking a little bit about how your Builder Trend story and running your finances, we always like to set the context around your journey in construction. So will you just give us a quick little overview of how you guys started your company? And I know there's a little bit of a romance in the name, so I really want to kind of get into some of that, and then we can talk about your business.
All right, cool. I actually started in construction when I was young, working around my uncles, helping them with, you know, what was back then like flip properties and, you know, the mid-90s. So I was very familiar with construction. I actually started as a laborer when I was 14, laborer for a custom home builder near my home. And then when I was in high school, was still when trade programs were in existence. So I was able to go to school part-time and then go work as, in the trade program, but I got paid for it. By the time I graduated high school, I was making so much money, I didn't want to go to college right away. So I got all my partying out of my system early and got that experience early, and then went into a different field, but Danielle can pick up how this actually came about.
Yeah. So when we moved to Michigan, we moved back here from Chicago. I actually left 10 years of teaching. I taught second grade, and I started a blog because I couldn't just be a stay-at-home mom at that time. So I started a blog, and this blog basically turned into Clark and Aldean.
Wow.
I was just blogging about like our day-to-day life and things that we were doing. And then we bought our first home and started renovating it. We realized really quickly that people were coming to our site purely to see what we were doing on our own home. Then people locally started asking if we would ever consider doing that on their house. And we had really, Michael and I had dabbled a lot with wanting to work with each other and wanting to build a brand and a business together.
We just didn't know what it was.
Hadn't figured it out. When I say we dabbled a lot, I mean, like, we did photography and we built websites and we ran restaurants, social media, like we did all these different things and nothing really stuck. And then, yeah, construction and design really hit home. And yep. I think it hit home so much to both of us because home just has such an essence in what we want to create as a family, and being able to share that with our clients. And I guess the world now is really, you know, profound. So here we are.
That's amazing.
6 years later.
Courtney, does that warm your heart that she, you know, started a blog and turned into a construction company? Courtney is our director of brand and content. So that's like,
yeah, blogs are, content marketing is powerful. Like I always say.
And that's when we were talking about, I mean, we didn't even share the love story of our name, Clark and Aldean, and where that came from.
So with my background in marketing and advertising for 12 years, when we kind of set up this strategy session in our home office, Danielle said, I want a powerful name that is something and something, like a crate and barrel, but has meaning to it that is a good story point for us to kind of warm up a conversation with clients or potential clients and new partners. And it took a couple hours to figure it out, but we landed on Clark and Aldean. And where that name comes from is when we met in Chicago, I lived on South Clark Street. She lived on Aldean Street. Well, if you know anything about Chicago, Clark Street runs diagonal from the south side to the north side. And where it meets Aldean, it's Aldean Street on the east side and it's school on the west side. So those streets don't intersect, but that's where our paths intersected. So our kind of our newer logo. We have our OG logo, which is very simple. And then our new logo really represents kind of two street signs to pull that story in a little bit more together, and which goes back to really the strength and branding.
Adorable.
I know, that's, it really helps the story tell.
For all the hopeless romantics, like this is the design builder.
And then all our client ads are named after street names as well.
No way.
So, yeah.
I love it.
A street either close to where they live on or that they live on, and then a street that is sentimental to the homeowner.
That's fantastic. That definitely takes the award on the building code for most adorable origin story. Yes. I don't think there's been a better one.
We'll send you a trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. We send out t-shirts. It'll be like most, you know, like superlatives. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put it over here.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's amazing. And, you know, as you guys have grown your business and your brand and all the things that go with it, the small little details obviously add up, but we were kind of talking before we jumped on the recording about kind of how you came to Builder Trend and as you were evolving your business strategy. So, you know, we brought up the Contractor Coalition. You guys were attendees that's sponsored by Nick Schiffer, or created by Nick Schiffer and Brad Levitt and Morgan Molitor. So you're alumni, right? And you weren't Builder Trend.
Two-time alumni.
Two-time. Oh, whoa. That's huge. I don't know if I've met.
That's a flex.
Big flex. You guys were not Builder Trend users before Contractor Coalition. Is that true?
That is true.
Okay. All right. So, let's talk about that. Why?
Yeah. No, what were you using? Yeah, tell us more.
Yeah. Let's talk about your business evolution.
Yeah. So we've been really good friends with Morgan and Jamie at Construction of Style for, I don't know, six, 7 years now. They were really some of the first colleagues in this industry, I guess we could say, that we met in person and met digitally and built a strong bond with. So when the Coalition Summit was being, the first one was announced, it was like, all right, that's a heavy investment for us. We're not sure. And about 2 months before, maybe even less, maybe a month before it hit, we were traveling in Florida and Morgan hit us up and was like, hey, you need to come here. I promise it'll be worth it. So we talked about it, bought the tickets, got our flights, and we went down. I've been a big fan of both Nick and Brad's work since going to Coalition the first time. Like, we've built really strong friendships and relationships with both of them. And I think that's the thing about the Coalition Summit and also about our industry right now, that if you can meet a lot of these individuals in the game that they may feel intimidating because of the level of work that they do, but these are all people that give you the shirt off their back. I mean, you need advice, you need a document, you need a template, they'll give it to you. And I think that's, I don't want to say Coalition is just great for, oh, you get all these templates and documents. It's the relationship building. It's the learning. I mean, it is like a what do I want to say? Like a college term course crammed into 3 days.
And what's beautiful about it, it's like so collaborative and it really takes the competition out of our industry. And I think for so long, this industry has looked at everything and everybody as competition to them, and that we can't share things or we can't tell you how we're doing or what our markup is or how we're doing this because you might go steal our clients or you may have a better price. That really eliminated all of that. And it's something that I think because the two of us come from different industries initially, we're really collaborative and we really want to have a community, and Coalition really helped that. And so when we left there, we realized we had a whole lot of work to do. And the way that our brand was structured and was great, but the way that the internal portion of like how we were running as an actual business was no good.
So Builder Trend kind of came to the light in just the conversations with all the attendees, because you break out into sessions, there's breaks, you're doing dinners, lunches, and we just kept hearing Builder Trend on repeat. And, you know, the reality is this, anything worth doing is going to cost. Anything worth doing is going to be an investment. And at the time it was like, man, this is a significant number to hit every single month for a subscription to a project management software. Mm-hmm. But we did it, and then we stopped. And then we went back. And what I say and preach to everyone I have multiple remodeler groups that I'm in on Instagram and in different platforms. What I tell them, and I can't stress enough, is you can't just sign up and have it do all the work for you in a week. Like it is a 6 month investment without breaking a sweat to get the software powered up to work for you and your company. So the first time around, we were just lazy. We felt like we needed something instant to hit. It didn't hit, so we just didn't do it. the second time around when we said, okay, we've tried other things. Builder Trend is the only one that truly works for us and for all these other builders that are doing incredible, incredible work and building first-class businesses. We took, actually for us, it took us 5 months before we rolled out a test project with a client, and we onboarded the client and let them know this is our first project that we're rolling out. There's going to be some hiccups, but roll with us. It's going to be good. And we hit the ground running since then.
And what I think was really interesting is when we first launched Builder Trend, we were so excited about the project management software and how we were going to have timelines and we were going to be able to showcase these things to clients. But really what was a big game changer for us was that back end, that how we were running our finances, how we were coding things, that we were actually coding things, that we, everything had a cost code and they were related to them. And we were able to see where our markup was or what we missed and where there wasn't a change order. And so where it really shined for us was that inner workings that the clients didn't see, but we internally saw, and then we could fix where the holes were. And like some of those holes are really gaping massive holes that we hadn't realized that we were missing until we were on the platform.
Yep.
When you talk about getting on Builder Trend, you mentioned like it's an investment for your business. And obviously the first investment you made was going to the summit. Like you said that, you know, you wanted to meet other builders. What was the pain point in your company, or what was the, I guess, the spark for deciding to go to the summit? Was there a problem you were facing? Was there a growth goal you wanted to hit? What was it?
All you know, when this is kind of a long one, but you know, for us, we started our business. I left corporate and we started our first day of business full time was November 2nd, 2018. Not that we're counting. we had a great year, you know, 2018 rolling into 2019, going into Q1 2020 was just the two of us. We had a couple people that we hired for like just carpentry help. But then the pandemic hit. Then we were like, okay, what's in Michigan? We were shut down for 7 weeks. What are we going to do? Well, during those 7 weeks, we were getting hammered with new inquiries for work because people were working from home. They wanted to update their houses. So from 2020 till, I want to say, January 2023, it was do everything we can to survive, hire people, get an office, get a workshop, get a warehouse, get another trailer, get another truck. It was just, we were just investing. And 7 days a week, it just seemed like we're constantly wheels in motion, just doing everything we can to keep things moving. And then we hit a point where we realized, like thinking, wow, we hit our first year, not our first year in business, but I'm thinking 2022 was our first $1 million plus year as just that we were still a small team. And then we realized, well, where's all this money gone? And we were in debt, like big time debt. Like over $500,000 in debt as a company, which for us adds a huge layer of stress. So that was the biggest pain point that we realized which is crazy to say, we need to reinvest in the right places, not more tools, not more equipment, not more bodies. We need to invest in the education and the relationship building and the access to individuals that have been through this before.
Well, and it was that pain point of, we know how to create beautiful homes. We know how to manage clients. We know how to do all of that stuff. But where we were really struggling again is that back end of like being business owners. And how do you run a business that is so large and their cash flow is crazy, how it's in and out of your company. We needed to know how to do that, what tools to use, and the best way to educate ourselves, as both of us are creative people. And so spreadsheets are not my favorite thing.
You can make some beautiful spreadsheets, you know, with enough practice.
Just like beautiful kitchens.
I'm pulling myself back. It's really interesting. So we talked a little bit about this before we got on, but I get the privilege of hearing a lot of these stories from a lot of builders. So if it's any consolation to a lot of people out there listening, not an uncommon story. Started in these small businesses. You're trying to just keep the lights on. You start running fast. You're working in the business. You're not working on the business. And then at some point you hit this opportunity to say, okay, I know there's got to be a better way to make sure that I'm not missing things. And that's what these tools do. So ideally the return on that investment is you have control, which lets you make better decisions long-term, which then that debt ideally is gone. And now you're cash flow positive and you're growing. And I love taking shortcuts, right? Mm-hmm. Learning from the best businesses, entrepreneurs, business owners, whatever. That's the smart thing to do. People have figured it out, right? Copy, copy, copy.
Yeah. And it's even as simple as like being willing to ask for help,
right,
from someone.
Yes. Yeah. You got to swallow your pride.
Yeah. And being willing to like open up your books and talk about the issues. So what were some of your early takeaways, you know, from the summit or even getting started on Builder Trend? Like, was there an aha moment of like, this is going to help turn things around?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest aha moments for us was our cost codes and really getting in the nitty gritty with those and making sure that we were cost coding appropriately. And then we were able to, at the end of the day, when we're doing our work in progress, we were able to really look back and see, okay, where did these align? Where did they not align? Where are we making money? Where are we not making money? Where do we think that we're bringing money in, but we're actually losing, we're slipping on this. That was like a holy moly. Like,
and it's not very glamorous either. Sometimes people think like the answer to all of your,
you know, hardest to tell people what I do at Christmas time. When it's like, what do you do for a living? Like, talk about Costco list. They're like, what is that? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's my contractors love it.
Yeah. It's the important part of the business that nobody really talks about. Cause it's not glamorous. It's not sexy. It's not flashy, but that's paying attention to these details. That's what's going to create your longevity. You're going to, you know, survive or you're going to die riding on the backbone of your processes, procedures, and truly knowing your numbers. So that was a big thing for us. I mean, one of the things, Courtney, at the Coalition Summit was hearing Nick talk about burden rate. I was like, the hell's a burden rate? What are you talking about? So I had a sidebar with him. And of course, when you go to Coalition, you do get access to these templates that these guys have paid thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for contracts and templates, which we already had, but we were able to then duplicate and take things from their contracts and import them into ours and rewrite ours. And, you know, that burden rate piece was huge because it really came down to, are we charging appropriately for our internal hours? And what we realized is like, no, we're losing money. So we are paying to do a client's job for them, which is no good. That's not how business survives. That's not how you make money. So that was huge for us. And the other piece was our markups, and we could spend hours on that. I won't go into it because everyone's markups are different, but we also realized that we were not marking up nearly enough. I'll just give one example. If you think you're marking something up at 25% and you're going to make money in construction, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose big time.
Totally. It was really interesting. When I went to the Contractor Coalition, and I've obviously spent a lot of time with contractors hearing their pain points from a business standpoint, there's that fear is kind of what in the back of your head, like if I raise my prices, like I'm not going to be able to get customers and then I'm not going to have any business. Right. And one thing I think an advantage for construction is there just aren't, you know, in your market that many people that are doing great work, because the rate of a construction's life is, you know, 2 years average that they're going to survive because they're undercharging, because they're not taking advantage of the demand for good contractor work. Like whenever I go try to find a contractor, I have anxiety. I'm like, I don't know. You know, it's like, how do you position yourself in your market to charge a rate that's worth the quality of the work while also being proud of the fact that you're in your community, you're actually bringing value to longstanding, you know, construction. So it's just really interesting because I think contractors and that I've observed like are afraid to do that but to stay in business, you kind of have to be willing to put yourself out there.
It is intimidating. And, you know, something that has worked for us that maybe, you know, somebody listening can think about this is, yes, we're active in our community. We live in our community that we serve primarily. I mean, 70% of our work is within a 5-mile radius of where we live. We are extremely transparent people. If you reach out and want a project and you say, I want a full kitchen remodel, my budget's $50,000. We're just going to be flat out honest. We're not going to be rude, but we're going to be honest. Be like, listen, completely get it. You're going to hit 150 to 200 without breaking a sweat. So we can, you know, deliver an option for a refresh that you're going to have to change your scope in order to achieve. However, there's no chance that we can take on this project. Or if somebody says they have a $200,000 budget, we're just open and very transparent with the realities of what construction and design costs are today. Our clients appreciate it.
I think a lot of it comes to what Michael's saying is that upfront conversation that we're having with clients, and we're really truly educating them on the process without being insulting.
100%.
Because I do think that our industry also has that tendency of like, we have all these acronyms and all these different things of what we call things. Yeah. And so like, you can make somebody feel very inadequate in what they're doing or what they want quickly. And so that authenticity of like, we're here to support you and help you along the way. From the initial, like, hey, I get that you don't know how much a bathroom really costs, because when was the last time you did that? Yep. And so
25 years ago.
I Googled it. I don't know.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, that's the big thing that our industry is up against is I call it clickbait media.
Ooh.
You have these clickbait headlines that, you know, the one that's famously gone around recently is Dwell, and this company in Indiana did this whole house for $160,000. Does anybody know that they're not admitting that this company actually owns a furnishings company, and that's how they were able to achieve a lot of this, or whatever they own. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But our industry is going up against publications that need clicks in order to drive their advertising revenue. We're going up against the HGTVs of the world, where it's all about driving eyeballs and viewership, and whatever you got to do to sell the story in. I'm sorry, but a med school student and an Uber driver do not have $1.5 million budget to buy a home. But that's what we're up against. We all laugh about it, but that's what we watch and see. So as Daniel said, a lot of our job is just education, but not dumbing it down, but just having an open dialogue and conversation as normal people. It's not necessarily an expert with acronyms going against somebody that needs to be scolded. It's just have open dialogue and conversations. Make it smooth, make it easy. It makes our job more fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
from the outside looking in, like, your projects, they're beautiful. The kitchens, the bedrooms. At what point did you learn that you had to be confident about, you know, charging more, and like confident in like what you bring to the table, that you were setting yourself apart in your quality, and that you deserved to charge an applicable price?
Well, for design, the design portion came pretty quickly because we started with, we're like very unique in the sense that we've realized this after going to all these different events and things like that, as we have both construction and design, but we also have like a full interior design team in-house, mm-hmm. not just design build. And so those interior design hours, that was easy. Like, it was like, we first started charging this and we're like, oh, people will pay that. So then we're like, well, now there's two of us, we're going to charge this. All right, now there's three of us. And so like that rate just kept going. And I think we've hit a comfortable point with that. It was with construction. We actually joined a group last year called Remodelers Advantage. And when we went to that round table, basically we were like hit in the face. We actually met Heather and Steve Tankersley at Coalition Summit. So like, let me just dig this full
name
circle.
Drop. Yeah, they're going to be here in town next week. They're going to be on the podcast.
Yep. I talked to Heather yesterday.
I'm doing a webinar with Steve next week too.
Yeah.
So
we'll be on it.
All right. I'll give you a little shout out.
Heather and Steve at Coalition. And when when we were like, holy moly, like, what is happening with our business right now? Like, I think that we're going to have to close down. I don't know. I called Steve and I was like, I need your help. And I don't know what to do. And I've heard like, you guys are in remodeling like us, you know what you're doing, you're making a profit. Like, and Steve is like, here's what you need to do. You need to join Remodelers Advantage. And so we were like,
which
okay.
Again, going back to the investment piece, mm-hmm. when you think everything has hit the fan, you have nothing to spend, you have to have that level of confidence and do some really deep, deep work, inner workings with your soul to say, okay, I've already rolled the dice this far. I'm going to roll them one more time, and I'm going to invest even more money to help me go get the money. Mm-hmm.
So we joined Remodelers Advantage, and then we were fortunate enough to be in a group with Heather and Steve, and we got to our first round table, which actually was in Sacramento at Heather and Steve's location.
Yep.
and we got absolutely hammered for our books, but they were like, you guys, what are you doing? Like, you can't charge, you gotta charge way more than what you're charging. Like, what are you doing? So then I just like came home and I was like, all right, we're gonna charge this.
But another point I want to hit on that, like design, as Danielle said, design was never the problem. It was always construction.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did, I mean, we are fixed bid. And we don't bid against any competitors, and we're upfront about that. If you're looking for multiple bids, we're not your people. It's just not, we're not going to bid to get the work. We deliver a certain level of excellence and experience, and it does come at a premium. There's no one around us that does what we do the way that we do it. But prior to that first round table, we were doing line item for everything. And that's where we were getting hammered. Like, wow, paint is 20,000. That seems really high. We need to bring that down. Oh, I know a painter. I'm going to call, and this would be speaking for the clients. They know a painter. They know somebody that can do demo. And then they start cherry picking what they felt was too expensive, but it was never design. It was only construction. So we restructured our estimates into three buckets, and it is our internal hours. So it's our Clark and Aldean admin fees, which is interior design hours, general contracting, project management. Then we have our labor and materials. It breaks down everything that's included, but there's only one line item price. It's not broken down by trade and by material. And then we have our fixtures, furnishings,
and finishes
line item. So,
which we call design allowances. And that is like the one area that we really focus on with clients, that can help adjust the scope of work. Because we say all the time that design is what carries a project and it's what's going to determine the price of their project.
That change alone was like a light switch in our business, where we no longer were having these 2 or 3 hour meetings, scraping through line items that clients felt were too much. And for us, it's like, then we're pleasers. So it's like, okay, well, sure, we'll call your painter. Sure, we'll call your electrician. Every time we did that, there was a multitude of problems and we were the ones that ate the fees.
But yeah, you end up with someone you haven't worked with before. They slow down the schedule.
Babysitting.
Yeah, you got dead days on your job.
That's a big piece of advice I would leave, is to restructure your proposals and estimates, and less is more.
So maybe compare like a project that you are in today with like an earlier one. Is there like a notable difference in how you're running the project? Maybe just talk about the differences between like maybe some mistakes you made in an early one and now. Today, it looks like this.
Change orders. I'll just say that. In the early days, if something needed to be done, I'd run to the lumber yard, run to Home Depot, run to Lowe's, run wherever, get the stuff, do the work, and just get it done. There wasn't a change order. We just did it because, okay, it has to be done, so we just did it. Now, if change order comes up, we put it in Builder Trend. Here's the cost. We call our clients first on the phone, say, hey, want to walk you through these changes. Here's the cost. We're going to send it over to you right now for approval. We cannot move forward until you approve it and submit payment.
But I think that part's really important. What Michael just said is that we never send numbers to clients without calling. Mm-hmm. We always do that call first, because nobody likes to get slapped with a number on email. And that, again, it goes back to that expectations and how we're managing expectations with clients. And you already know you're on this emotional roller coaster with them. So having that really personal time with them on the phone, especially when it comes to finances. Yep.
And we've actually had, it's less now, but there are still instances that come up where we request a change order from one of our trades and say, hey, we need this number before you do it. And they end up just doing the work.
And we just had that happen this morning.
And then comes the change order, and our clients are like, I was hoping it was going to be lower than that, or else we wouldn't have done it.
And it's like, it's already done.
It's in our process. It's in our contracts with them. It's like, hey, you need, before you do the work, you got to send over a change order. Because if you don't, we can't guarantee we're going to get paid for that work. Mm-hmm. So again, just keeping everything in writing. Every communication is key. Strong documentation. Like, truly use Builder Trend for what it's built for. It's all in one. Just
The other major component is that we have, especially since we're talking so much about finances right now, is we have a whole payment schedule. And we use BuilderTrend for payments. And so I send clients like their full list of here's your payment schedule for the whole entire project. This is when we're going to expect these payments. And then at the beginning of the month, because I like to keep my books clean, I release like all of April payments. Mm-hmm. So they can see all of April payments in BuilderTrend, even though I've already scheduled them all. I just, you know, try to keep my books clean and not have everybody not like me.
It's so nice, the transparency too of like, it's both, it goes both ways, right? For the homeowner and the contractor. Like, you want to know when you're getting paid. They want to know when they owe you. And if you just have a schedule on the upfront, it's like a clear expectation going in.
Exactly. And I think there is a negative stigma still in this industry where it's like clients don't want to pay. But it really comes down to just set the expectation, set the table right from in the upfront. It's like, hey, we're kicking off your project in 2 weeks. We've uploaded the payment schedule to BuilderTrend. You're only going to see your payments due month by month. But we've included in this email a full breakdown for the next 5 months of your project, what's due, the total amount, and what date. And again, you will see those payments for May. You'll get alerts on May 1st. June, you'll get alerts on June 1st, but you can always reference this email for it.
And then we just like loosely associate those with progress. So like clients can see where the progress is just for builders on the back end so that they know how that looks for us.
These types of conversations about financials, whether it's like with your client or other builders that you're asking for advice, like they can be sometimes awkward, right? And what would be your advice to builders who have trouble having these conversations or being transparent or talking openly? Like what have been the lessons you've learned?
I think when it comes to dealing with clients, I'll let you, because you've done a lot of talking with builders. When it comes to dealing with clients, is like that just is part of our business. So that's something that you're going to just have to kind of bite the bullet and get comfortable being uncomfortable. When you kind of dilly-dally around it or like don't want to be a part of that conversation, like people can sense that.
Yeah.
And people can say, it's almost like you're not worth your value, right? Like, oh, I hate having these type of conversations. Like, sorry, this is life. Like you're paying a service.
But I think that also could result in, if you're dancing around numbers and not really sure, it's almost like a client could feel like, okay, are you hiding something from me right now? Mm-hmm. Or
it hurts your trust.
It has a true negative effect.
And then also getting over, like for a long time, I felt like we really struggled with like, oh, the client really wants this. And now I'm like, sorry, if you don't want to pay for it, then like, you're not getting it.
Your teacher heart, you know, but they want to learn.
We will do surprise and delight for our clients. You know, we're not going to necessarily put a massive piece of furniture in there that you refuse to pay for, but we do surprise and delight our clients in different ways. But going back to the finance piece for me from working with trades, because I'm a general contractor and handle most of our project management on jobs as well. In our industry, it's typical to see like if a trade is done at the end of day Tuesday, they expect a check end of day Tuesday. But we do not hand out any wet checks, wet meaning a signature was actually written on it by us. We don't hand deliver cash. Everything is digital. So when we bring in a new subcontractor, trade person, vendor, whoever on work, we get them set up on BuilderTrend. They have to put all their information in there. We need their W-9. We need their certificate of insurance with us, Clark and Aldean, labeled as an additional holder, which is also another piece of advice for people to make sure that they have all their documentation straight. And then once the work is complete and we're actually on site and verify and see it, that's another piece of our process. We actually have to go and see it. Then we can set up to release payment. Payments are invoices. Final invoices or progress payments are due Thursday, end of day. So we pay on Friday. If somebody gives us an invoice on Friday morning, they're not getting paid to the following week. So it hurts sometimes because we really do love our trades that we work with. We're like family. But there's a process and we're not going to step outside of our process just because somebody decided to get something to us late.
I was going to say, I can hear it now. Like, oh man, like I don't want to have to get into BuilderTrend. I want my check when I want it. Has it maybe weeded out some of the trades that you work with? Have you run into issues there?
Most people we found, we actually haven't really had any pushback or issues with it. People don't want to deal with checks. Like, mobile deposit is great, but when they get a check, then that's an extra step they have to go to a bank. Mm-hmm. Now, we have some trades that have their bank account set up. Others are getting digital checks, which they can then print out, you know, sign and do a mobile deposit. But the fact that they don't have to drive to our office and pick up a check, we don't have to, they're not waiting on us to find time because our days are busy. I'm not just waiting around to just, okay, it's 4 o'clock. I'm going to go deliver checks to three different job sites now. It's automatically published. It's in their email. They can deposit it.
I think too, like, we just kind of have built this mentality around the trades that we're working with of like, if you don't want to do it our way, then you don't have to work with us, which is okay. But we're literally feeding you work. Like, you don't have to go out and look for it. We're just handing it to you. So we haven't ran into that problem.
No. And a lot of what we do too with our teams, like, we're trying to help them build their businesses too. We're not hiring them on just to, well, I need this plumbing done, I'm going to hire you on, and then, you know, we're done. Like, we want to be an asset to everyone to help them build stronger businesses and help them get to the next step and next level of their work. Obviously, we still want them to work with us. But if we're not helping our trades, if we're not helping our vendors, like, we help our clients get their project done, it's like, what are we here for? That's part of our job. Our industry has taken a huge hit in talent. We left industries and strong careers to go do this. It is our jobs to do everything that we can to help this industry thrive. And part of that is the education and the brand building and just the recommendations, anything that we can do for our team that we work with.
And being efficient with those resources, the human resources and your budgets. If we put a nice bow on this episode, one thing that I'm really curious about is at the beginning you said, you know, you were in deep debt. How long have you been with BuilderTrend? Has it even been a year yet?
It has. We've been in about a year and a half.
Year and a half. So where are you now? And what does your financial health of your business look like? What does your outlook for the future look like?
We closed the year 2023 with less debt than we had kind of at the end of Q1 2023. So we hammered that down, and coming into at the end of Q1, we've knocked out an even more significant portion of it. You know, it's not something that we talk about openly on social. Like, we kind of talked about before we hit the record button, like, you know, there is a level of impersonation to this business. Mm-hmm. I hate the term fake it till you make it, but that's what everybody knows. If you're delivering a luxury product, you're delivering top tier, top class brand and business, you know, there's a little massaging that needs to happen to the realities of the business. I'm not saying travel the world and fly private and have, you know, a Mercedes and a Lambo sitting there, but you also can't like scrounge, you know, the pennies together to try to make something happen. The reality is we had to get comfortable with the uncomfortability of being in debt and understand that business is tough, and 90% of businesses in the world experience debt at some level all the time. So we're still climbing out of it.
Yeah.
We're in a much better spot. Our stress level that was here is now like here. Because we've attacked it head on, and we also have a really strong team around us of business professionals that we hire and employ to help us get to the next step. And we also know that we can't go out to dinners all the time when we want to. We can't buy new laptops and get all the new tools. Like, we have to buckle down a little bit, and that was tough in the beginning, but now it's just like a lifestyle. So,
well, and I think that a lot of this comes down to just the two of us wrapping our head around what that's going to look like, and that it's not an immediate fix. It's mm-hmm. something that is going to take time for us to get there. But I mean, when we were at the lowest of our low, we were talking to bankruptcy lawyers and getting all of the information of like, is that the route that we need to go? Are we that far down into it? And a lot of it just comes down to like your grit and motivation of like, so often I think people get in that hard spot, and then what do? They give up, because like that's the easy way out of things, is So by no more means has this been an easy ride for us. You know, we went from a team of nine to a team of three. We've changed locations. We're selling our house. Like, we've done a lot of crazy things to get us here. But like, in the end, we both feel that this is like the right direction for us as a brand and a company and a husband and wife team.
We have two young boys, and we have an example to set for them. And we've had to kind of gamify this whole experience of being on budget and bringing them to the farmer's market every Saturday so we can get our produce and fresh proteins, and that we can go to a new coffee shop. It's kind of our little experience of, you know, we're going to go do something fun and then hit up the parks. So I think it's important to, you know, if you do have kids, or you just have, you know, younger talent that's in your company, like, set that example and be open and honest. I think that's the big thing we've done with our company, is like, everyone knows the situation and we're good. Like, we're strong, we're better than ever. Our projects are even better, and we're only going up from here. We've already hit the low. Now we're going up.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. We got to cut it here. You guys have covered a lot of topics today. We talked about the sales pipeline, how to manage your finances, building a community. We just ran the rogues gallery of topics here in construction. It was great having you both on. You're always welcome back here on The Building Code. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, I can't wait to have you guys at Detroit.
That's right.
Motor City. Can't wait either. Bye, Danielle. Bye, Michael.
We just had Danielle and Michael from Clark and Aldean. It was an amazing interview. We covered a lot of ground. I mean, we got into finances. We got into customer experience. Courtney, give us that fresh perspective. What'd you think?
Well, I love this episode because I think Danielle and Michael, they were in kind of a dire spot with their business. And then rather than throwing in the towel, they took a bold step to invest in their business. They went to the Contractor Coalition Summit. They were also bold enough to be transparent and kind of vulnerable and share their experience with other builders, which in turn meant they got the help that they needed. They got the advice that they needed. So sometimes you just have to make a bold move and ask for help.
I love it. And that's, I think, a really interesting way to talk about their story, is that you're up against these challenges. And we see this all the time, where you get so caught up in the day-to-day, it's really hard to keep track of the quarterly outlook, the yearly outlook, and come tax time, you're like, wow. And you also, it's very easy to kind of create informal processes naturally, that until you actually step into the situation and you say, we're gonna move information in this way or through these steps, that people just kind of fill in the gaps. I always say that with my own team. It's like, if we don't define what should be happening, people will just do it. And then you're kind of picking up the pieces. So having that ability to say, you know what, I'm going to look in the mirror, I'm going to challenge myself to grow, and I'm going to try and take these lessons to improve. And it sounds like things are really getting to a point of, they're starting to blossom and really get to a place that maybe they didn't even know they could get to, which is really great to hear. And I think it's inspiring for others who probably have had similar stories. And that's how great growth happens in an industry, is that when others can look at those that have done it and say, I can do it too. And that's what I think they're really indicative of, which is great to hear.
Yeah. And Builder Trend is just one small part of that story. But there's also, you know, you'll hear in the episode, you've heard all the different connections that they have, and kind of the Builder Trend community that they're part of. They're leaning on their reps, but also other builders they've met by being part of our software platform.
Yeah. And I just love their adorable story and name and their brand.
It's sweet.
It's just so fun to watch when we have couples on and they're in the Zoom interview, you know, and it was so much fun. So thank you both for joining here on The Building Code today. Like I said, you're always welcome back. And to our listeners out there, we really appreciate you. And thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to tell all your friends about The Building Code. Every time we have a BTU, it's starting to happen more and more. People are like, oh, are you Courtney? Are you Zach? Or where's Charlie? And so,
celebrities,
come to Omaha, come meet us in person. But thank you so much for listening. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, where all podcasts are available.
Yeah. And join the Facebook group, The Building Code Crew. If you have a even cuter name story than Clark and Aldean, like, drop it in there.
Drop it again.
See you next time.
Thank you so much. I'm Zach Petrovich.
I'm Courtney Matern.
And we'll see you again.